Good evening, and once again, welcome to all whom we have in our midst. As I've been saying all week long, I am grateful and honored to have an opportunity to share another portion of God's Word with you in a theme that I selected to present this week with this series of lessons here, Lights in a Dark World, based upon Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15, where Paul, beginning in verse 14, said, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." This week has been and continues to be about being a proper example. And thus far in our studies, Sunday we talked about the importance and the power of example where our life is concerned. Sunday morning we talked about how Jesus is the light that we are reflecting to the world. And then Sunday night we talked about the darkness that is around us where we are reflecting our light. Then on Monday night we talked a little bit about what does different look like. And then last night we started making some application associated with that, talking about being examples in every area of our life. And tonight we're going to look at a specific area where we need to be an example, and that is being an example online. And as I've said all along, the emphasis of this lesson is dealing with social media. And then continuing tomorrow night, we're going to talk about some things that can help us to let our light shine in this world. And then finally on Friday night, we're going to answer the why question. Why is this so important? Why we let our light shine? So that's the theme as we go through this week. But as I said, tonight we want to talk specifically about being an example, letting our light shine online as we are interacting with others. And this is, you're looking out over this congregation here, you have a good mix of people here. And here's a good percentage of you who all of your life, you've known that there was an internet. And all of your life, you've known about cell phones and those types of things. But there's also some of us who are a little older who remember what they called a rotary dial phone. We remember when our televisions had three channels and there was an antenna outside, and sometimes you'd have to go adjust the antenna so that you could even see one of the channels. We remember when they would deliver newspapers to our door every day and would get our news from magazines and newspapers every day. And we shared our photos by going down to the local drugstore or the photo mat where we had it produced. And then we would show the physical copy of it. That was back then. We're living in different times. Now everything is available for us. Everything is available for us in an electronic format from the standpoint. And so we need to be ready to share that. We need to give consideration to our example while we are online. Because one of the points we made in our lesson last night is we emphasized how we are to be an example in every area of our life. And it starts with a home. But we also need to be an example when it comes to our society, when we go to work, even as we take care of ourselves. And of course, we concluded by talking about the importance of the church and how that needs to be a part of our life and to be an example there. But as I said, we live in this electronic age. Electronic media is very much a part of our lives. And much of the communication that is done today is done without physical interaction. As a matter of fact, oftentimes today, we are communicating instantly with somebody that's on the total opposite side of the world. And it's amazing what we are able to do because of technology. Let me give you some statistics that are associated with social media. And I looked this up actually as I was preparing to present the lesson here. These are statistics that are only a couple of months old, from a website that is constantly tracking these particular details. So as of last month, it was estimated that approximately 63.9% of the world's population uses social media. And if you narrow that down to eligible audiences, understand there are parts of the world that are still primitive. But if you limit it down to what we would call the civilized world, it's well over 90% of individuals use social media. In the United States alone, about 73% on a regular basis, 253 million, and we're what, about 350 million or something, use social media on a regular basis, interacting with others. The average time, according to these statistics, the average time that is spent on social media sites on a daily basis is 2 hours and 21 minutes in the world, and the United States is just a little bit under that with 2 hours and 9 minutes. And yes, there are places that are logged as they spend more time than we do in America. I think number one is the United Arab Emirates. It was interesting as you look at those particular statistics. And when it comes to social media sites, and when you look up these statistics, you might find a little bit of variation, but you're basically going to find the same sites in the first five, six, seven positions. Number one overall is Facebook. Facebook has 3.07 billion subscribers that use it on a monthly basis. Second place was WhatsApp. Some associated tie that with Instagram. Third place is YouTube, where 2.54 billion people on a monthly basis interact with YouTube. And that's just the ones that are most prevalent from that standpoint. And I will tell you right now that, since the time of COVID-19, about 5 years ago, the internet and social media, the numbers have increased substantially. Because when that pandemic came along and our society was shut down, and understand I live in California, our society was shut down longer than yours. We had to learn to use this stuff even more. And so, we have learned to do more with social media to interact with society. And that kind of flamed a fire in a number of different areas, with work, organizations as they did what they did, and even among churches, they adapted. I know that as a result of social media, we began a YouTube page. And we actually began a Facebook page, and I actually began recording lessons. And I'm still doing it today. So, it's one of those things that has, you could say it's a good thing that came as a result of that, from that standpoint. And while most of society has returned to normal, there are still residual effects that are associated with COVID-19. And here's the point of this. Whether you like it or not, social media and the internet are here to stay, at least for the foreseeable future. They are a part of our lives. And being a part of your life, if you are going to put God first in every area of your life, that needs to include when you're online. We have to address this as Christians. We can't ignore it because it's a part of the world that we live in now. And one thing I want you to understand about social media is when you're on Facebook, when you're on your cell phone, when you're on your tablet, and another statistic I came across is I think that it's this portable device, about 96% of social interaction takes place here on these devices that we're carrying around with us all the time. So you know what? I want you to understand, when you're on that device, you're communicating. That's the thing to give consideration to. And if I'm communicating on a cell phone, I need to let my light shine just as much as if I'm looking at somebody face to face. That's the point you need to consider. You know, over in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse number 6, Paul there, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. That applies to you when you're using a keyboard just as much as if you're talking to somebody face to face. If you don't get anything else out of this, and I hope you do get some other things from it, don't forget that. You are communicating. You are reflecting a light. The question is, what light are you reflecting? And that's what we need to give consideration to. Peter over in 1 Peter chapter 2, he made there the point that our conduct needs to be honorable. Where he said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 11, he said, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." You have your conduct honorable as you interact with society. That's the whole premise of what we've been talking about this week. In Philippians 1 and verse 27, Paul told the brethren there, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel." And that's your manner of life when it talks about your conduct there. We need to live worthy of the gospel in everything that we do. So understand that with social media. And I want you to know that this is not going to be a lesson where I'm going to bash social media. Because understand this, social media is morally neutral. You know what I mean by that? You know, that means social media is not good or bad. It's what you do with it. The internet is not sinful within itself. Money is not sinful within itself. Money is morally neutral. It's what you do with it that determines what it's going to be. And the same thing is true with the internet. The same thing is true with our interactions on social media. With social media, you can accomplish a great deal of good things in your life. You know, as COVID-19 began about 5 years ago, as I said, you know, they were a tremendous help. They were a tremendous blessing for us as brethren, communicating with each other and things that we were able to do. And I'll tell you right now, you know, you probably heard with COVID-19 that back in 1918, there was another pandemic called the Spanish flu. And they didn't have the resources and the blessings that we have now where we could still communicate, even while we were trying to do our best to eradicate this pandemic. So understand, you know, the internet and social media, it was a help in many different ways. And as I said, many churches, they increased their online presence and have maintained that even to this day. And when you think about the internet and some of the goods that can come from it, you have opportunities to communicate with others everywhere. You can connect with friends, which can be a good thing. You can communicate, you know, I know because of social media that on Thursdays, I'm part of a weekly online Bible study called Truth Factor. John Duvall, who preaches in Edmond, Oklahoma, is the one who owns the page, and he started a study probably 15 years ago, before the pandemic, But that's still going on. And I met John at Florida College back in 1985, 86. Him and some other preachers, we have the opportunity to teach the gospel. I'm in California. He's in Oklahoma. Paul Adams is in Indiana. Brian Haynes is in Oregon. And we have others who are with us as well. And we're able to together study the Bible and share it with others. That's communicating online. And that's a blessing to give consideration to. Recently, you know, as research has been done, there's a new phrase that's out there called digital door knocking. You know how effective is it to knock on doors and invite people? Well, because of the times we're living in, there are ways, there are effective strategies using social media to interact with those within your community and invite them to events like this gospel meeting. And you can advertise this. You know, I remember when I first moved to California, and I've been there about 30 years, I remember when we would have a gospel meeting and would put a 2x3 or a 2x3 ad in a newspaper, and you'd literally pay hundreds of dollars just for that small ad to try to invite people to come. You know, we can use that money now on social media, and you can target your audience. You can target who's going to receive that ad based on where they're at and so on. That's what digital door knocking is about. And that's a good thing, and it's something to give consideration to. Joshua can give you some more detail about that or put you in contact with those who can help you with that if that is of an interest. But the point is good can come from these things. We have opportunities to disseminate information more rapidly. But be careful what information it is. Not everything that's on the internet is true. just always remember that. It can be used to encourage. It can be used to make a positive impact to society and to those whom you associate with. And also, it's a great way to learn biblically as well as auxiliary topics. Topics that are related to studying God's Word. You can learn about those things as well because of the internet and because of social media. So those are good things, positive things to give consideration to. So understand that the social media can be good if you use it for good, or it can be evil if you use it for evil. So what do I need to do where social media is concerned? Well, I need to think about how while I am online, I need to be letting my light shine even in this dark world. And let's talk about some things that are associated with that. And the first point that I want you to understand, and I've made this point all week long, is understand that you are being an example even when you are online. Your circle of friends and their friends and likely beyond, somebody is watching you, and they're watching what you say. They're watching how you respond to what somebody else says. They're watching what you post. They're seeing those pictures that you put on there. They're seeing those memes that you are sharing with others. And they're seeing whatever communication you're making, whether you're behaving yourself or not, your friends are watching. And that's the thing to understand as you are dealing with this. And who knows how that is going to be used in the future. I want you to understand something about when you post something online and that didn't line up properly. Anyways. But here's a point. Once you post something, it's there forever. Somebody's going to see it. You may regret it and instantly remove it, but very likely, because people are always, you know, as soon as they get that whatever that sound is, oh, I got to see this. Somebody's likely to have seen something, and even if you regret having posted it, somebody knows you said it. You just understand what you post online It's there, and it's there forever. It has a possibility of being there forever. And you don't know anybody that would use something against you that you said in the past, do you? We see that all the time. And that's the tragedy of what we have to give consideration to when we think about that. But another point I want you to consider, when you are online, it is a reflection of who you really are. It reflects who you really are. You know, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Solomon there said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." And I ask the question, does your online community see that God is important to you? Do they even know that you're a Christian? Are you willing to let them know that you follow Jesus? That's something to think about. What do they see when they see the way that you dress? Do they see concerns about modesty? When they look at your interests, when they see what you're writing, or if you're posting a video, what you're saying, they observe your language, where you go, and when you go there, what do they see? That's something for us to think about. Because it's online, and they're watching you. And that reflects the real you. You know, on Sunday, do they see that assembling with the saints is important? Or do they see that you have to be a counselor? Or you'd rather be with your friends somewhere else? They see those things. So think about that. That what happens online, it reflects the real you. And of course, here's another reality. Is today, many employers, when you're interviewing for a job, or even while you have your job, if you've seen anything that's happened after recent events, for example, with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and there were numerous individuals that were rejoicing online, and they've lost their jobs because their employer said, "We don't want to be associated with that type of behavior." And employers are watching. Employers sometimes, employers when in the interview process, they may look at your social profile to see if you're a good fit for their company. And even more important than that, at least as far as I'm concerned, is what you do on social media, what you do online, can affect your ability to try to reach and teach others with the gospel. And that's what we need to think about. Another concern that I have when it comes to social media is I ask the question, what is it doing with your ego? You know, over in Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse number 18, Solomon there made the point that pride goes before a fall. And he's warning them about arrogance from that standpoint. And he says, we need to be careful not to be prideful. Over in 1 Peter 5:5-6, Peter there said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You need to humble yourself in the sight of all men. Many use online activity to promote themselves. And I'll tell you, that's a big business today. You know, somebody posts something, and then they're constantly looking to see how many likes they get. You know, because they want people to see it. And it becomes a boost of ego. And some examples of what I think about, one of them is what I call guilt-tripping messages. And let me tell you what that is. You know, that's somebody that maybe they post some kind of a scripture or something like that. And they say, if you love God, you're going to share this with everybody that you know. And if you don't share it, you don't love God. Or you hate puppies. Or you could go down the list. You know, you're a bad person because you don't share this with everybody you know. And that's somebody that's trying to get people to share their post. And it's egotistical. Let me tell you something. The fastest way to get me to ignore a post is to threaten me if I don't share it with all my friends. I don't get caught up with that. You can look at my profile and you're not going to find a whole lot about politics on there. And let me tell you why. Because I don't want to eliminate anybody from an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And if you take a strong political view, right now you're telling half the country, I'm not really interested in you. That's why I don't share politics online. And I'm just telling you, use caution with that. And so you've got that. And then you've got the clickbait. You know, that is that they'll put some kind of a title on a video or something because it's sensational. And half the time the video says nothing about whatever it is that they're trying to get you. And they just want likes. They want clicks. That's ego. Let me ask you, what does God's word say about ego? You know, does your online persona reflect the real you? You know, I was talking about this a moment ago. I said, online reflects the real you. But now I ask the question, does it reflect the real you? And what I mean by that is there are those who, when they're online, are putting on a false front as to who they really are. But I want you to understand that if you're doing that, that's reflecting the real you as somebody who's deceitful, as somebody who's not interested in being truthful in every area of your life. And that's a point that I ought to give consideration to. You know, is it reflecting what your genuine interests are, or are you just putting on a show? Are you posting something to boost your ego, or are you belittling others intentionally or not? Think before you post. Think before you share something that somebody else has said. Remember over in Luke 18, you know, this is where Jesus talks about two men went to the temple to pray. And you have a Pharisee and a tax collector, and the Pharisee, God, I thank you that I'm not like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give 10% of everything that I have. Kind of patting himself on the back. And of course, the question that Jesus asks at the end there, and this is in modern terminology, whose prayer made it higher than the ceiling? Was it the Pharisee or was it the tax collector that wouldn't even look up to heaven and beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Got a lot of people that are like that Pharisee when they're online. They're bragging about who they are. And it's about their ego. And we need to be concerned about that. You know, I need to ask myself, am I being humble as I share God's, as I share whatever it is that I'm sharing? Am I being honest as I share what I ought to be sharing? Over there in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 25. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 25. Paul talks about our conduct. And he makes the point there in that text where he says there, therefore putting away lying, let each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. You know, I want you to understand something. There's a lot of different ways that you can lie. There's a lot of different ways that you can be deceitful and not tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we need to think about that as we are online. Am I seeking to boost my ego? In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3, Paul there says not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. We need to be a humble people, and that needs to be reflected in our lives. And get this point. If you need social media to prop you up, you have deeper problems than who you are externally. And that's something to give a serious thought to as you serve the Lord. Another question I might need to ask, is this a wise use of my time? 2.5 hours a day on average. That's 10% of the day. You know, now I don't necessarily, I think I've already pointed out, it's not wrong to be on social media. I don't think it is. But how much time are you spending there? And is it a wise use of your time? Again, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16, Paul says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The idea of walking circumspectly, as the New King James says, it's walking cautiously, walking with alertness. And then he says, you redeem your time. Are you using your time to grow with faith? How many spend an inordinate amount of time online and with social media? And how does that time compare with the amount of time you spend personally reading your Bible and praying to God and associating with your spiritual family? I think we need to be asking ourselves these types of questions. How many are addicted to online activity? Is it ruling you? You know, it has been said that behavioral addictions are harder to break than substance. A substance addiction, alcohol, drugs, and things like that. A behavioral addiction, gambling, pornography, playing games, watching television, social media. Those that get addicted to those things, and there are studies that are showing that there are people that are addicted to that. When you go to eat, do you always take your phone with you? And you're scrolling through the internet. You know, test yourself sometime. Am I really addicted to this? What are you doing about it? You know, what is the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? Do you check your social media profile, or do you say a prayer? That's a reflection of your life. What would happen if you lost your internet connection for a week? What would happen? Would you survive? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 12. Paul said here, he said, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful." And let me clarify something. Paul isn't saying everything that you do is lawful. He's talking about among those things that are lawful, those things that God accepts. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I'm not going to let them control me. I'm not going to let the things of this life control me. Even if it's something that is good, something that it's acceptable for me to do, I cannot let it control me, because God's my priority. We've been talking about all throughout this particular study. Something else I might add to this, I think this is another important point for us to consider, and that is this robbing me of personal interaction with others? You know, there are many today, those addicted to social media and the internet and other things, that they devote so much time to the electronic mediums, and again, social media, television, video games, internet, so on and so forth, that they become recluse in their own home. They go to their bedroom or wherever it is, and they never come out until they have to. And there's no life outside of their cyber circle. Their cyber friends are closer to them than real people. That's a concern. You know, while social media is communication, we need to understand it is not face-to-face. And social media communication is never going to be as effective as sitting across a table from somebody and talking to them about whatever it is. You can clear a lot of things up when you're in person with somebody. There's just something lost when you remove that person-to-person dynamic. You know, in God's Word, I read that as Christians, we have a responsibility to take the gospel to others. Mark 16, 15, 16, Matthew 28, both of those are dealing with what we describe as the Great Commission. And I believe I can show you that even though it was originally given to the apostles, the way that it was carried out, it applies to you and me also. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I have a responsibility to do that. We've talked about in our study already, 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can I answer why I believe what I believe? Can I find the answer to why I believe what I believe and help somebody lead them to Christ? That takes place face to face. Now, the internet can be good. It can introduce the gospel, but rarely does it, and I'll use this expression, rarely does it close the sale. You know, there's an interesting observation as you go through the book of Acts. You have there a number of conversions, and there's some incredible things that happen. Paul's on the road to Damascus, and he is struck blind by the Lord. The Lord speaks to him. Cornelius has a vision, told to send for Peter. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles are speaking in tongues, and the people witness the miracles. Philip is sent to Samaria in Acts chapter 8, and he's healing the sick. And the people obey the gospel as a result of Philip being there. But I want you to understand, in every case of conversion, without exception, the gospel was taught by the word of mouth of a man. Even where you find God involved in sending somebody, it was a man that said, this is what you need to do. And I think we need to think about that. And so, that's how I tie this to social media. I think you can let your light shine on social media, and I think it's a great way to introduce the gospel. But at some point, if you're going to close the sale, there has to be interaction with them. I mean, you need to spend time face to face with individuals. So you know, so use the social media, use it, but use it for good. Use it to let your light shine. I need to be asking the question, before you post something, before you share something, how is this helping me to let my light shine? You know, as I said, you know, it's going to reveal the true you, whether good or bad. Is what I am saying online damaging my influence with others? Is it easy, you know, it's easy to say things online without consequences because there is no personal contact. You know, it's easy to blast somebody when there's no accountability to their face. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is accountability. And that's the point we must never forget as we deal with this. You know, we look at our society today and social media, recent events, both social and political, they brought about the best in some people, but they brought about the absolute worst in others. Some, I just shake my head. I understand it in a godless world. But when I see my brethren tearing each other down online while people are watching and reading, when I see my brethren airing the dirty laundry, if you will, of their brethren, I have a serious problem with it. Somebody's not being a Christian. So we need to give consideration to that. We need to realize that God is watching. And we need to want to do it for the right reasons. And that's the bottom line. And don't think that what you post has no impact on Christ and His church, because it does. And if I'm a follower of Christ, I cannot and should not forget that. And I personally believe that social media is a resource that we ought to be using to help us fulfill the Great Commission. In fact, let me give you my personal opinion on something. This is me. I believe that if you want people to know where you are as a church, you need a website. You need an online presence. Now, it doesn't have to be something elaborate, but I'm going to tell you right now, you know the number one way people are going to look when they're traveling, where is a church? They're going to go online. They're going to ask their friends on social media. And you know, if they want to know where you stand, and they do their homework, they're going to want to see what they can about you. And you know what? You can let them know with a web page. And of course, the majority of churches get that. This congregation has a website. Of course, we have a website. And the whole point is, this is an example of using God's Word for good. Or social media and the internet for good. Use the internet to encourage others. Be what God wants them to be. Use the internet to calm the fears and encourage trust in God in a world that's falling apart spiritually, that's growing darker and darker by the day and more hopeless. Be a light. That's the point. Use it to be different. That's what I talked about Sunday night. It's good. You know, if you're not gossiping about people, if you are not using profanity as you are interacting with your friends online, they're going to notice that. They're going to notice what you share and those types of things. Be different. Use it as a tool to reach others. Ultimately, use it to let your light shine. Don't be ashamed of His light. So think about that, and I commend the lesson to you, and I hope we will give consideration to these things as we interact with society. God is first. God is to be our priority. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, as we just sang about a few moments ago. And as we pointed out last night, that's in every part of our life. And I hope you can see from what I've said this evening, and this is just touching the hem of the garment. That's true when you're online as well. So think about that, and the lesson is yours. Maybe there is somebody here this evening who has not yet named the name of the Lord. If that is the case, we always conclude a service with an invitation. If you believe in Jesus, and if you will repent of your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, you can be baptized. And in the act of baptism, your sins are washed away. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, as Paul is retelling his own conversion. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, they asked, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "You repent and be baptized for the remission," which means the forgiveness or the removal of. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, "As many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." It is in the act of baptism that you become a part of the body of Christ. You put on the Lord. And if you have not done that, you're not saved. And we can help you with that this evening if that is your need. But as a child of God, and this lesson that we've talked about reflects that, that's just the beginning. God expects you to remain faithful throughout your life. And most of the New Testament is written to Christians about how to live as Christians so that you can prepare to spend eternity with God. But God, in His grace and His mercy, when you stumble, when you sin, even as a Christian, has provided a way for you to be forgiven. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you're not right with God for some reason, repent. Acts 8:22. That's what Peter told Simon the magician. And pray to God for forgiveness. If as a part of that repentance, something needs to be acknowledged before these brethren, you have opportunity to do so. Or if you're just struggling with something, let them know so that they can pray for you. If there's any way at all that you're subject to the invitation, resolve that you will no longer linger after the ways of the world, but you'll surrender to Him. Come forward as we stand.